this morning with some rather grim GRIM statistics. In 2016, there were 478 homicides by gun in Harris County. 478. In 2016, the same year, there were 713 automobile fatalities in the greater Harris-Galveston metro area. So if we add those numbers together, it's 1,191. Now, since there's 365 days in a year, let's do the division, and we come up with 3.26 people per day in that year who were either shot to death or killed in an automobile accident. And dear God, don't get stuck on how 2.26 can be dead. You can't kill a quarter of a person. It just works out that way. But think about it. Every morning we get up, we make the coffee, we get dressed, brush our teeth, get ready for work. Some of us comb our hair. We get ready to go to work, or maybe school. Maybe we need to run errands that day. Some of us may be involved in volunteer work. Some of us may go to play tennis. Whatever your day is about. And you look in your car, and that little thing in the dash says you're almost empty. So you stop at the local gas station. Something we do every day. And while you are filling up with gasoline, bang! There's a gunshot. Or, as you're pulling out of the gas station, there's a crash and a car wreck. Your car wreck. Either way, the next thing you know, you are standing in line in front of St. Peter's desk. You got my drift? This is not going to be a good day for you. Well, for some of you. Others, not so much. Okay. The next thing you know, you're standing there in front of St. Peter's desk. And behind his desk, going from right to left, are three doors with a light over the top. And this one says, Heaven. So you guys are in good shape. You're on the right side. And in the middle, there's a door right square behind St. Peter, and it says, Purgatory. You're still in. And then there's a door over here on the left. Some of you who are old as I am remember Monty Hall. Three doors, let's make a deal. And over that door it says, hell. Were those 1,191 people in 2006 ready that morning for their day of judgment? Let's bring it home. Would you be ready for your day of judgment? This Triduum of Sundays that we have been working our way through, the Feast of the Ascension, the Feast of Pentecost, and today the Feast of the Holy Trinity, has really been about one thing: turning cultural Catholics into intentional disciples. Now, I have to tell you, one of the things that really stuck out for me when I was going through a new seminary training or a retraining or a retreading or a retooling, whatever you want to call it, to be a late vocation Roman Catholic priest, was when we were studying canon law. And we came to this phrase, and of course, it's important, so it's Catholic, so it must be in Latin. You know, everything important in Catholic churches in Latin. Salus animarum supremus lex esto. Those of you who did not do well in high school Latin, let me help you there. The salvation of souls must be the supreme law of the church. The salvation of souls is our greatest good. It is the ultimate target. It is what everything that Father Mario and Father John Jaime and I do, day in and day out, is to be focused on the salvation of your souls. All the laws in that great big book of canon law has one point: the salvation of your soul, especially if your end is a surprise. The bang at the wrong end of a gun. The crash of a car wreck. Or maybe it's something as simple as a story I heard this week of a man who took his family snorkeling in the Caribbean. He took his grown child who just graduated with honors from, I don't know if it was law school or medical school, it doesn't make any difference. She had done very, very well. He was so proud of her. He took the whole family to celebrate. They were snorkeling. The trip was her gift. And suddenly they realized the papa wasn't moving. You know, snorkeling, you're kind of laying there on the top of the water trying not to scare the goldfish. Well, he had been in this position just a little too long. They went over. He had had the big one. He had died of a heart attack. I don't think he was expecting to do that morning. Otherwise, he would have dressed differently. Living a life of intentional discipleship is, number one, being ready yourself. Number two, getting others who do not know Christ ready for their big one. By going, making, baptizing, and teaching, just like the boss said in the gospel this morning. We're to go, we're to make, we're to baptize, and we are to teach. So what is this discipleship, this intentional discipleship? It's an explicit decision, a radical decision to follow Jesus Christ and to claim Him as your personal Lord and Savior, the Savior of your life. And folks, if I sound like a Baptist, that's because you've been hanging around with Baptists too long. That's Catholic language, and we better redeem it. Have you made that intentional decision to follow Him and to welcome Him as your Lord and your Savior? Have you made that decision to follow Him intentionally, deliberately, and trustingly? Intentional discipleship is lived out in community. We do not go it alone. So the question is, are you walking in the company of other believers, supporting others in their Christian journey, challenging one another, and praying for one another? Discipleship is nourished by daily prayer, by the sustained Word of God, and by attending to the sacraments, most especially Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. characterized by St. John Paul II, John Paul the Great, as the church's most priceless treasure. So what is the state of, the quality of your prayer life? The marker of friendship with Jesus Christ? Have you discovered that place deep within your soul, that sacred sanctuary where friendship with Jesus Christ is nourished and is cultivated? Discipleship is expressed through beatitude living. You've heard of those eight beatitudes. Beatitude living, the connection between our faith and compassion, between our worship and charity, between liturgy and justice, between prayer and service, between selfless works of charity, of giving, and deep and profound compassion, always remembering the poor. Are we walking the walk? Are we just talking the talk? Or as one person put it, do we serve the Lord, but only in an advisory capacity? Intentional discipleship is marked by constant conversion, a change of the heart. It's something that happens on a daily basis. Are you responding to God's amazing grace that heals the wounds that we carry of sin and selfishness and sets aside all the diseases of the soul and robs us of our peace and our peace of mind? Are you encountering Christ, the divine physician, regularly, regularly in the sacrament of reconciliation? Yeah, you know, that one we used to call confession. You know, the one that your parents used to drag you to once a week. It's still there. And it's still there for your good and for your good soul. Are you an agent of healing in your family, in your workplace, in your school, in the wider community? You see, intentional discipleship invites others to taste and see the goodness of the Lord, first by the example of their own good life, and then by personal invitation. Is your life attracting others to discover Jesus Christ and inviting them to live the sacramental life of the church? Discipleship is joyful, invitatory, emanating peace and happiness. Saint Teresa of Avila once wrote, "Oh Lord, please spare me from sour-faced saints." Yeah, sour-faced saints. You know, if you haven't figured it out by now, this Triduum of Sundays that we have been working our way through has been a Catholic answer to what the Baptists would call, we're in revival. Yeah. These 3 weeks, we, the clergy and me most especially, have attempted to revive your living in Christ, your prayer life, your service life, and your giving life, to move you toward intentional discipleship. I want you to really take a look at your living in Christ. Is church attendance the summit of your week, or is it just an add-on? Just an add-on. Is your prayer life alive? Now, when the young people at the high school come and talk to me and say, "Well, Father, I ain't got much of a prayer life," I say, "Do you have a phone?" I say, "Oh, yeah, I got a phone." "Does it have an alarm system on it?" "Oh, yeah, it's got an alarm clock on it, right here." I said, "I want you to set it for in the morning before school,
to go off during your lunch hour, and to go off before you go to bed. And I want you to pray one Our Father and one Hail Mary every time that phone goes off.
Three times a day.
One Our Father, one Hail Mary. And one of the kids looked at me and said, can't I say something else to God? I said, sure, but you're the one that brought up the fact you had a lousy prayer life, not me. You're the one that said you weren't getting the job done. So I'm telling you what the church has done for 2,000 years, and that stopped three times a day, morning, noon, and evening, to say prayers to Almighty God. But believe me, you can say anything you want to after you've gotten His attention. He would love to hear from you. Let me ask you, are you serving God in some substantial way, either within the church or outside the church?
Is your giving to God through the church and through other charities,
is it sacrificial? You know, more than just here, kid, you know, the kid sitting next to you, here's a couple of bucks, throw them in the plate when it comes by. That is not Christian stewardship. It's not just about when you're here. It's about regular, meaningful. When you give, does just a little piece of you in the back go, sure wish I had that back. I could have gone to the movies on Friday night. I missed that 20 bucks. I want you to miss it, but miss it in an appropriate way. Now, folks, I am not a TV evangelist. I'm not trying to stand up here and raise money so that I can have 5 houses and 6 limousines, okay? That's not the point. I don't want some lady living on her penance, on her pittance, on her pension, sending me every dollar that she owns. No. But I'm saying, take a look at what you call your stewardship and be intentional about your giving. Folks, everything that Father Mario and Father Jaime and I and the priests who come to assist us mass by mass, Sunday by Sunday, weekend by weekend, the one thing that we're trying to do is get you into heaven. Everything the Catholic Church does is focused on one thing, and that is getting you into heaven. But I can't drag you kicking and screaming. God doesn't work that way, and I don't work that way. I'll pray as hard as I can. I'll preach as hard as I can, and sometimes I'll preach like a Baptist preacher. But I want to see you in that line with me. I'll probably be maybe over in this far aisle for purgatory. I got some stuff I'm going to have to deal with. I'm no saint. I pray that I get a pup tent in purgatory. But folks, I don't want to be in this line over here and look over here and see some folks that I used to see on that side of the church on Sunday morning. I love you, and I want you with me in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.